Thank you, Dr. Orlowski, for that introduction. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for being here. Again, my name is Wilkes Wood, and I just completed my third year of PhD research at Mississippi State University under the advisement of Dr. Jason Fruits. And today, I'd like to discuss an aspect of that research that deals with the effect of cinnabar thresholds and soybean growth stages on yield and water use efficiency. So in the late 1990s to early 2000s, soybean hectares increased rapidly in the state of Mississippi. Cotton had been king, but commodity prices were down, input prices had risen, and it was not a very profitable crop for our producers, so they began to see the benefits of planting soybean. And just over the past few years, soybean has risen to the top row crop commodity in our state. So with this kind of change and influx of soybean hectares, it's added a very steep learning curve for our producers to better learn how to produce this crop. And we're still working on fine-tuning our production practices, specifically irrigation management. This past year, 800,000 hectares of soybeans were planted in the state, and 58% of those hectares were irrigated, with the main form being furrow irrigation. And the picture in front of you is the soybean water use curve. And with fine-tuning our irrigation management practices, one of the main and first points that we want to learn and delve into more is when to irrigate this crop. In a recent survey looking at our local producers and polling them to see when they determine when to irrigate, only 6% used soil moisture sensors. Now, that's a relatively new tool in our area. It's been adapted in the Midwest and other states for quite some time, but it's still fairly new to us. But only 6% of our producers are currently using that to base their irrigations and when to initiate. The rest use either just a default calendar schedule where they irrigate every 6 to 7 days, and there's still a very large majority of our producers that irrigate based upon the visual condition of the crop. They'll ride by the field, looks like there's drought stress going on, we need to irrigate. I'm not kidding. This is what is going on. And when they're using these two different kind of practices to determine when to irrigate, we see some inefficiencies arise. And with the soybean water use curve, I want to point out a couple of these inefficiencies, the first of which being in the early flowering period, there's been a mentality with our producers and our crop consultants that has developed that they will initiate an irrigation event during this early flowering period with the hopes to improve and hasten canopy development, which would increase weed suppression later on in the season, and potentially even add nodes to the plant, which would translate into higher yields. So that is one mentality and kind of thought and idea that's going out, and there's this irrigation event will often happen when it's not even needed. So we have that inefficiency in the front end, and then later on in the season, it is very difficult for them to determine when to irrigate their crop based upon the available soil moisture in their profile, and it's also difficult for them to determine when to terminate irrigations for the season. So we have some inefficiencies going on with this current kind of scheduling tool that these guys are using. And the reason we're so concerned with this is that the Mississippi River Valley alluvial aquifer, our primary source for irrigation withdrawal in Mississippi Delta, is being depleted at unsustainable rates due to withdrawal for our row crop irrigation. In 2007, a team came together, and if we were to continue down the same path we were, maintain the same management practices, they modeled the results, and it would be catastrophic. In just 30 years, it would be crippling to our agricultural production. So, therefore, the irrigation team has been tasked with being able to come in and determine the best practices we can utilize to maintain a producer's yield while utilizing less water to be able to conserve this natural resource of ours. So the objectives of this study was to establish a safe cinnabar threshold for mid-south soybean production and determine the effects of soil moisture sensor thresholds at various growth stages on canopy coverage, irrigation water use efficiency, and soybean grain yield. And our hypothesis was fairly simple, is that cinnabar thresholds will vary based upon our soybean growth stage. So the experiments were conducted at the Delta Research and Extension Center in Stouffville, Mississippi. That's pretty much in the heart of the Mississippi Delta, right up against the Mississippi River. Asgar 4632 was planted. That's a very common variety used in our area, very popular among our producers. And planting dates were April 26th in 2015 and 2016, and then this past year in 2017, we planted in April 25th. So we're still within that early planting date window for our area. And the soil type was a Dundee silt loam, again, a very common soil type that receives soybean in our area. Plot size was 4.2 meters wide by 32 meters long, so a fairly large plot for this type of trial. And then the experimental design was a split plot arrangement within a randomized complete block with four replications. The main plot were growth stages, which consisted of vegetative to R2, R3 to R4, and R5 to R6. And then our subplot factor was cinnabar thresholds of 50, 85, and 125. And within the confines of this study, we had a control established to give us a sort of a baseline. And within this control, we had season-long cinnabar thresholds of 50, 85, 125, and a non-irrigated control. So we were going to use this to establish a baseline to compare back to. And I want to make a note that when a specific treatment was outside of its growth stage, a blanket 75 cinnabar threshold was used. So for example, the R3, R4, 85 cinnabar threshold, when the field was at R3, an 85 cinnabar threshold was used for that treatment. When the field was at R5, a 75 cinnabar threshold was used for that treatment. And through work Dr. Kreutz has done previously, he established that 75 cinnabar on this soil type is a fairly safe threshold, so that's why we utilize that. Rometer watermark moisture sensors were utilized. This is a granular matrix tensiometer that gives readings in cinnabars. And to kind of better describe the cinnabar readings, a cinnabar reading of 0 to 10 is saturation, so the field cannot retain any more water. Cinnabar reading of about 30 to 35 is field capacity, so gravitational water has drained out of that field. And through previous work that we've done and some of my own personal data, the 50 cinnabar threshold that we've used for the study, that is in place because that typically coincides and correlates very well with when our producers irrigate, either based upon their 6 to 7 day schedule or when they irrigate based upon a visual crop. That typically hits right on that 50 cinnabar threshold. So that's why that was in place. And also I failed to mention that these soil moisture sensors were placed at depths of 15 centimeters, 30 centimeters, and 60 centimeters in each treatment within one rep of the test. Each irrigation event, we applied 41.2 millimeters per hectare of water, and then we terminated irrigations at R6.5 as recommended by Mississippi State University. And all data were subjected to ANOVA using the mixed procedure in SAS 9.4 and an alpha of 0.05 was used. So we're going to shift on to the results. This is for soybean grain yield, looking at season-long threshold, so kind of our control that we established within this study. Along the x-axis is treatment, and the y-axis shows yield in kilograms per hectare. The season-long 50 and 85 cinnabar thresholds did not yield significantly different from one another, but they yielded significantly greater than the rest of the treatments. So to further kind of separate out those two specific treatments, we looked at irrigation water use efficiency. And this is simply what that treatment yielded divided by the amount of water it took to attain that yield. And the season-long 85 cinnabar threshold had significantly greater irrigation water use efficiency. So in turns, we were able to attain a similar yield, but utilize less water to do so. So again, that season-long 50 cinnabar threshold tracks very well with what our producers normally do. So the season-long 85 cinnabar threshold is going to act as our new control and standard. I will compare everything back to it from here on out. So first, looking at canopy coverage. Again, in all 3 years, we were able to put out an early irrigation event, whether it be the 50 during the vegetative to R2 stage, or the 50 at the very early R3 stage. So all 3 years we were able to put out an early irrigation event, which is commonly seen in our area. As I was going to cut on water to these fields, I would see numerous soybean fields having water running at the same time. So again, a very common practice in our area. In all 3 years we never saw a benefit or a significant effect with canopy coverage. And specifically within that time frame, our producers were hoping to see a benefit. All 3 years we'd never seen it, especially compared to the season-long 85 cinnabar threshold that did not receive an irrigation event early on during that time. So moving on to soybean grain yield, there was a significant growth stage by cinnabar threshold interaction. And this setup is similar as the past few graphs, except on the y-axis we have yield as kilograms per hectare. Within the vegetative to R2 growth stage, no cinnabar thresholds yield is significantly different than one another. Likewise, in the R3 to R4 growth stage, no cinnabar thresholds yielded significantly different than one another. But in the R5 to R6 growth stage, the 125 cinnabar threshold yielded significantly less than the other cinnabar thresholds. And then in a contrast analysis comparing the season-long 85 cinnabar thresholds to that 125 at R5 R6, the season-long 85 cinnabar threshold had significantly higher yield when compared to that specific treatment. So in conclusion, there was no benefit to an early irrigation event. Again, we were able to do this 3 years, and in any of the 3 years, we did not increase canopy coverage or improve soybean grain yield. Next, do not delay irrigations during R5 and R6. That probably seems like maybe an obvious statement, but that's one thing that through these past years, these cinnabar thresholds, when you get readings, there's not a linear reading that you're taking, and that's something we'll have to educate our producers on. So for example, if either a rainfall event happens or if they just irrigate and they go and check their sensors, one day it might read, say for example, 50. And then they go back the next day, read 54. And they continue to do that, and it will continue to maybe increase about 3 or 4 cinnabars until you get around that 80 to 85 range. And in hot and dry conditions, these things can shift and start going 7 to 8 cinnabars in a day. So it's really important for these guys to stay on top of that. And in this study, when irrigations were delayed during, especially the later season, the 6% yield loss occurred. So that's just the main time that these things can kind of jump on you and get out of hand. So really have to educate on staying on top of those. Lastly, 85 cinnabars is a safe threshold all season long. We feel very comfortable with this. We've done about a little over 20 on farm where we go head to head with a producer. They manage one side of the field and we manage the other. And we've been able to utilize this threshold, and every time we cut equivalent or significantly higher yield compared to that producer and do it using less water and still able to maintain profitability for them. So we feel very confident with this threshold within an early planting date window on this soil type. Future work, we'd like to see this carried out to some later planting date windows and further evaluate how these thresholds might play out then when there's more drought stress early on in the growing season with these plants. So that's some future work we would like to see done. And then lastly, water reduction potential. This is where it all matters. If just 15 to 20% of our irrigated hectares can eliminate one irrigation event, which keep in mind, I think is very reasonable, feel confident that can be done, whether it be eliminating that irrigation event early in the season or being able to utilize this threshold in season and hold off and catch rain or know when to effectively terminate irrigations, but we just eliminate one irrigation event on those hectares, the potential is to reduce a quarter of our annual overdraft from our alluvial aquifer. And if we're able to do that just year in, year out, the benefits would be astronomical for our area and really be able to conserve this natural resource of ours and let us to continue to be productive with our irrigation management. And with that, I'd love to thank Mississippi Soybean Promotion Board, summer workers, and fellow graduate students and committee members for their extreme help with this project. And with that, I'd love to answer any questions anyone might have.
Got time for questions?
Yes, ma'am. Excellent question. So the question is specifically, I guess, how often do we were able to get close to that 125 cinnabar threshold or achieve it, and at what growth stages did that typically happen? Does that kind of get at? Typically early in the season with this early planting date window, again, they establish that system to help avoid drought stress. So up until, I would say, even maybe R5, drought stress was rarely seen. We never really went over probably 90 cinnabars during that time. But as we got into the R5, R6, that kind of coincides with our hot July month and early August. And we never fully scratched that. In 2015, we did have an extremely hot year. And I think in one time during late R5, I think we got about 126. So we never fully approached that 125 quite often, but in each year we went over 100 cinnabars during that later period. So hopefully with future research, when we're able to put some further planting dates out and get more drought stress, maybe earlier on in the growing season, be able to see some more effects and be able to establish safer thresholds and see the interactions thereof. But to answer your question, with those early planting dates, we didn't really get a ton of drought stress until later on in the season. Yes, sir. Dr. Ewell here.
Well, two questions. One, on your 3 depths that you have your water sensors, when you say 85, are you averaging those 3?
So the question is, with these cinnabars, how am I getting this reading, essentially? So we take a weighted average during the early season at depths of 15 to 30. During the early season, that's typically where our active root growth is. So we'll take a weighted average of half of the 15 centimeter sensor and then half of that 30 centimeter sensor. And then later in the growing season, we'll watch that 60 centimeter sensor. And once it starts going above field capacity, that's when we determine we have active root development going on. So at that point, we take half of that 60 centimeter sensor and then a quarter of the 15 and a quarter of the 30 to get our numbers.
So yes, sir. On your late, where you saw a decrease in yield,
yes, sir.
Where you waited to the 125, did you look at what component is being affected there? Seed size, seed weight?
So the question is, with that R5, R6, 125 centibar threshold yield decrease that we saw, are we taking any yield components to determine that? We did. We took meter samples out of the plot. I'm currently still analyzing that data, so I wasn't able to present it today, but we do have total pod number, total seed number, total nodes, heights, things of that nature. So in the next couple few months, we'll have those kind of answers for you. Any more questions? I think we have time. Let's just launch.
Yeah,
let's
go
just
ahead.
Keep rocking. Yes, sir. Excellent question. So it's coming down to economics. How feasible is it for a grower to do this? And for time, I wasn't able to include that today, but we have ran that. So for each of these individual sensors is about $35. So for a set of three, you're looking at about $110 and $115. And how many producer would need would depend on the soil types, how many acres, how much he can irrigate at one time. But through the 6 years or so that we've been able to do this, every time we've been able to improve profitability with the cost of implementation of these devices on farm, we've still been able to obtain the profitability for a grower in terms of water savings or improved yield.
That's a quick
yes, sir.
Question on 85 centibar. How much does that change based on soil type, or is there a good amount represented, because I've seen Sharkey all day long from Mississippi, and now I don't know where this one is, so I don't know what the difference is.
Excellent question. So the question is, how much do the cinnabar thresholds vary based upon soil type? So this is Dundee silt loam. It is a common soil type we have. Most often it's cotton ground. I mean, when you think of your ice cream, cotton ground, it is sealing soil texture. So we had established a cinnabar threshold of about 70 to 75 through previous work, but we felt it might be a little conservative. That's why we did this. But with our Sharkey clay, we actually have a 100 cinnabar threshold. And just the soil retention capabilities of those Sharkey clays is just greater. You won't see such crazy increases. Like when I was mentioning, with these Dundee silt loams, you could go one day and cinnabar threshold be 81. And it's 105, just hot July days. You go back the next day, you could be sitting at 89, 90. I mean, it can increase on you very, very rapidly, especially when you get over that 100 centibar threshold. It can jump on you quick. In Shark clay, there's a little more flexibility with that, and you don't see as much differences, but we actually do have a different threshold of 100 centibars for Shark clay.
All right, let's thank the speaker.
There you go.